Okay, so yesterday we got up to Daf Yud Aleph. We spoke a little bit about Daf Yud. Just to add on, it circulated a little bit of a essay which talked about that question of Bria's Machlokas with Reb Meir and the question of davening for people to do tshuva and the issue of whether it's possible to daven for somebody to do tshuva despite the fact that we say a kol b'dei shamayim chutz meyira shamayim. And also the question of how do you balance the assumption that somebody is a Rasha and is out to get you, and therefore you're expected to treat them as such, and this position of Bria that you should instead ask for them to do tshuva. So that article discussed the position of Minchas Elazar that maybe Bria was wrong, if you had a chance to read it, and the opposing position of the Minchas Asher, of Asher Weishlita, who noted that doesn't seem to be the presentation of the Gemara and others. And I had quoted there also a few other positions regarding that question of the HaKol B'dei Shamayim, Chutz Me'ira Shamayim question. So some very significant and interesting statements worth looking at. Okay, so that article was written by my good friend and my Gil student, very worth reading. Okay, here on Daf Yud Aleph, so we get to the sugya of Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. And if you got to see, the Gemara on the top of Daf Yud Aleph tells us a drasha from the Psukim in Kriyat Shema of B'shivtucha B'veisecha and B'lechtucha B'derech, and the Gemara understands that B'sheves didach and B'leches didach u'dechayeves, that you're obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema when you are in your own activities, but when you are pursuing Lecha Shamayim, Chafzei Shamayim, so that is when you are Pater. So the nature of the obligation of the Ptur of Osek Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah is a very hotly debated topic and not simple to understand. What would you say is the fundamental challenge of that concept? Osek Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. There's some very fundamental questions that are at issue there, Eric.
How do you decide which mitzvah to do and which mitzvah to be poter, poser from?
Well, that could be a question, except that probably can be answered in a pretty straightforward way.
Which are we doing first?
Right, because presumably we're talking about the mitzvah you're involved with first. Yeah, Caleb?
If you have a mitzvah that's bound to a certain time versus a mitzvah that's not bound to a certain time.
All right, that's an important detail. What you're getting at is, does it apply across the board?
Yeah.
Right, that's an important question, is that are there mitzvos that are exceptions to this rule? I mean, because basically, are there going to be certain mitzvot that, for whatever reason, are going to be more important than other mitzvot, such as a mitzvah of Eris, I mean, a mitzvah that's going to be not around forever. So should there be an exception? That's an important question. But I'm still looking for things a little bit more fundamental than that. Yeah?
Asei versus lo ta'asei?
Oh, so that's another question that we find elsewhere in Halacha, that there are other rules for prioritizing mitzvos. So how does that compare here? What else? Yeah, Natano?
Is there a hierarchy of mitzvos that we should be some form of ranking system? For example, we know that Shiloh HaKein and Kibud HaBa'im have a very explicit reward listed in the Torah that other mitzvos don't necessarily have the same way from our perspective. So do we rank mitzvos?
Okay, that's similar a little bit to Caleb's point, right? That we know that it doesn't seem like all mitzvos are equal. So is that still the case regarding this concept? We're still looking for some more fundamental points. Yeah, Yedidja?
You say whether it's something that could be done with another mitzvah, like not wearing tzitzis, make me not chayv and eating matzah, or something like, basically what quantifies not being able to do another mitzvah?
Okay, so that's a little bit more fundamental already. Right, so what does the word osek mean?
Right,
so what are the parameters? But think about that for a second. So what would you think, Misvara?
If it's something that you can't do at the same time.
Okay, but then what's the problem with that?
Then you're still being osek mitzvah, so it's not osek mitzvah, it's also being a mitzvah that you're busy with.
All right, so now you're getting to something pretty basic. Eric, you want to comment on that?
I was one of the thinking mates, like, it's, you're being very specific about the word osik versus like osa, like osik, you're like delving into mitzvah, like you're really involved in it. So it could be like that. So like, I was gonna say something about putter. We talk about like putter can mean a million different things. So what does putter mean in this scenario?
Okay, so now we're getting to some very important questions. So first of all, just in terms of defining the terms, so these are very important issues, right? What is the statement osik b'mitzvah patur mina mitzvah mean? So what does osik mean and what does patur mean? Patur, especially because we've seen already a little bit previously that the word patur can mean a host of different things. So what does it mean here? We don't know yet. But just off the top of your head, what could it mean? Yeah?
That if you had a chiyuv to do another mitzvah, you don't have that chiyuv anymore.
Okay, and meaning not having the chiyuv could mean itself. Don't have to.
So it could be you don't
can't.
Have to. You could, but you don't have to.
Okay, could, but don't have to. Can't. Could it mean anything else?
Chatur al-Aser.
Maybe it's an Aser, or are you fulfilling a mitzvah? This could end up being a Pesach topic, if you think about it. So, we'll see. There are some significant ramifications about what that word means.
Could this get into the discussion of Gadol Mitzvah Bevosa?
It could. Right? Let's say you have a choice of doing it in two zones, and that may end up having some significant ramifications. Let me ask you, for example, let's say you're sitting at your Seder night, about to eat matzah, and you get a Hatzalah call, and you say, well, hold on a second, let me quickly scarf down some matzah. Are you Yotze?
Isn't that solid call different though? Because Bigach Nefesh Doch Esakol?
Yeah, so it's certainly at least Osik Mitzvah.
To be fair, you're Osik in matzah there. You're not Osik in.
No, but let's say you run to the ambulance and you take the matzah with you.
Okay, fine. Then Kai's question.
Are you Yotze in matzah? Yeah?
Well, it's probably not recommended because, as much as one wants to say that it wouldn't interfere with their Hatzalah duties, there's still a possibility that it might.
I just want to know, are you Yotze Matzah if you do that?
Well, is that considered a fila? Or if I'm scarfing it down while I'm...
Let's say you eat the matzah in a normal way. Are you Yotze? You don't have to answer the question. The point is just that that's a part of what's not clear about the word putter.
Okay.
Yeah. So, here, definitely the word osik needs some definition. But let's go back to what you did just said a second ago. Right, so Misvara, what would you think we mean when we say you're involved in a mitzvah in terms of patering you?
Probably means something that you're just not able to do at the same time because it's
not
possible to do both at the same time.
Okay, so if that's the case, so then what's the problem?
Is that you just, like, practically you can't do both at the same time, so you say, okay, so you're doing this one, so you're probably doing this one.
Okay, so then, do you think that's what it means?
Or there's no chiv in the first place that you're in the middle of doing something else.
So what do you think it means? It says, let's commit to Pato in the mitzvah, what do you think it means? Yeah?
I agree with you. It sounds like it's like you're so involved in the mitzvah, you just don't have the physical ability to do the mitzvah. So maybe it gets into the question of, am I allowed to start an activity knowing it might prevent me from doing a mitzvah, even if that first activity is a mitzvah?
Well, why would you not be allowed to if that first activity is a mitzvah?
Maybe that other mitzvah is more of a present need for maybe just because it helps more people, or because
then you're getting into ranking mitzvahs again.
Yeah.
Right. Now, it happens to be the Rambam talks about that in the Perush Mishnayos to Pirkei Avos. And when the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos you shouldn't measure one mitzvah against the other. It's Schar Mitzvah, Kala Kineged Chamura. So the Rambam actually talks about this exact point there in his Perush Mishnayos. But the issue that the Rishonim struggle with here, and in Masech HaSukkah, is that there is a fundamental problem here, addressing what Yedidya mentioned, that min hasvara, presumably, we're talking about a situation where it's not possible to do both mitzvahs at the same time. Because it seems difficult to say that you can do mitzvos both at the same time. For example, wear tzitzis and do anything else, and yet you would still be pater. However, there's a problem with the other possibility too. Because if, indeed, we're talking about a situation where you can't do both at the same time, why do we need this whole gemara? Like the whole notion of onus rachmana patre is, well, if it's impossible to do both mitzvahs at the same time, so then that's called onus, right? Yeah?
I still think there are situations where it still come into play. For instance, Tashlumin, Havdalah, mitzvahs that have a certain time period, but have periods which are considered makeup times. So if I was never, but I was never mechayav mitzvah in the first place, I don't need a makeup time.
Okay, so you're getting into an important secondary question, and that we have to discuss that separately, the question of what will be the consequences of the p'tur.
But so my point is that I don't think it's illogical to say that it can mean that you can't do mitzvah at the same time, because onus bar patri might patri from this mitzvah, might not patri from the makeup. So this
very important. So you want to know the question the Rishonim need to figure out here is if we have already a klal that onus rachmona patri. That we understand that you can't do more than it's possible for you to do. So we're in a little bit of a manashach here, because if it is possible for you to do both mitzvahs at the same time, then it's very hard to believe that there should be a p'tur. And if it's not possible, then what's the chiddush of this din? So the Rishonim struggle with the fact that there's got to be some chiddush beyond the basic impossibility, something more than what you would already know from onus, but it can't simply be that you're not expected to ever do a mitzvah if you're already involved in one mitzvah, because that seems to stretch what makes sense. So here, it's interesting that the Rishonim try to come up with what the chiddush could be. And that struggle results in essentially completely different conceptions of what the nature of the p'tur is. And that will affect secondary questions such as what Eric was just talking about. So your question of should there be tashlumin or not, or other related issues, will derive from this first level question. So first, what is the p'tur about? What are we talking about? That's the first very fundamental question. What are we addressing? Yes, sir.
So more, it could be like to the extent of what you're doing the mitzvah, like both terms are just like the amount of effort you might put into said mitzvah, or potentially like if there's like mahadran if there's lechachila and b'diavad, so maybe it's better to do mitzvah lechachila than two mitzvahs b'diavad.
Okay. Yeah.
The example that Rabbi touched on earlier in Sukkah is that I'm traveling on the road to go see my Rabbi Hirashir on Yontif, so now I can't sit in a Sukkah because I'm traveling.
Mm.
So that could be the nature of the impossibility.
Okay, so let's start with that, right? So if there's a situation where it seems like it's impossible, and if we do assume that that's the more likely scenario, so then, Taka, what's the chiddush? Let's start with that premise. Okay, let's assume, and indeed that's the case, so that it doesn't seem possible to do both mitzvahs at the same time. And that's the scenario in Sukkah. So, and there, indeed, the Ritva addresses it. So, what would the chiddush be of Osek b'mitzvah, Patam b'mitzvah?
If I'm stopping to travel on the way, do I need to find a sukkah now?
So that would be one possibility. But the way the Ritva and the Masechta Sukkah addresses it is, so the Ritva?
No, it's good.
So what the Ritva writes there is that you maybe would have thought that okay, clearly I can't do both at the same time. But maybe I have the right to do whichever one I want. And maybe it's up to me. And the chiddush is that the mitzvah involvement makes the second mitzvah into a dvar reshus. So pater essentially is not an excuse in this case. It functionally creates an iser because it drains the second mitzvah of its mitzvah status. Because I'm involved in the first mitzvah, I now am not obligated in the second mitzvah, and it would be wrong for me to stop the mitzvah to do with dvar reshus.
Getting back to what Eric said, can I know this situation is going to come up. Can I choose to get involved in one mitzvah that will prevent me from being able to do another mitzvah? Or is this much more of a first come, first serve mitzvah but liyadcha al tach mitzena kind of idea?
So that's an interesting question, and that gets involved in some other machlokasim. And we mentioned the other day, I think, when we talked about the whole Achilas and Erev Yom Kippur question. Right? So the machlokas about Tzom Gedalia, and if somebody knows that it's fasting on Tzom Gedalia is not going to be able to fast on Yom Kippur. So there is, in general, machlokas about that. So that's its own discussion. But that's usually not the scenario. So let's say if somebody already is involved in a mitzvah. So the Ritzvah's position is that to stop the first mitzvah in order to take on the second mitzvah becomes usur, because the second mitzvah is drained of its mitzvah status and it becomes a rishus. Hi.
A few things. Number one is that particular point is getting into more of a hutch lo d'chliya idea.
From the other side.
Right, yes. Not the way it's all
right, the flip of it.
With regards to traveling on Sukkot, Cholamoid might have an even completely separate idea, given that with Cholamoid we, in general, are more quick to say no, you should be preparing for it beforehand as opposed to doing it on Cholamoid itself, specifically with regards to shaving. That this may or may not have come up in a certain.
Right.
That's a totally
yes.
different discussion.
But
yes, it is a totally different discussion. But that.
Yeah, we know about your feelings about this issue,
okay,
but just to focus on this point first.
With regards to what we're actually talking about. Effectively, what we're saying is that there's three things that we need to define, and that's putzer, osig, and the comparison between the two words in the two words mitzvah, and any way of answering this basic question that we have is going to come from redefining one of those things.
Could be. So you're going to end up, you'll see, with very different conceptions of what we're talking about here based on this first initial question, because the need to find a chiddush here is going to drive everything else. So this premise that we have to assume that it's impossible to do both mitzvahs at the same time, which itself is driven by a basic svara. Right? The idea that you would be putter even if it was possible to do both mitzvahs at the same time, as Yadidja was saying, it seems strange. It's hard to believe that you would be putter even if you could do both mitzvahs at the same time. Now, a part of this was behind the scenes, beneath the surface, in the Gemara and Bava Kamma and Daf Nun Vav, the story of Pruta de Rav Yosef, where the Gemara talks about the idea that somebody who's involved in Hashavas Aveda is putter from Staka, which is going to bring up a lot of sub-questions, which we'll have to see if we can get to. But the Gemara tries to tell us, and they were shown him over there, Tosfos figures out, Tosfos addresses the question, how could you be involved in Shomer Aveda to be Pater from Staka? Because that sounds like a passive thing. So what does it mean that you are Pater when you are Shomer Aveda? So Tosfos suggests that it must be that it's, say, it's an animal that requires feeding and caring for, and at that time you are actively doing that, so it's impossible for you to be doing the other mitzvah at the same time. But Tosfos's premise there is that if it wasn't that it required your active attention, indeed you wouldn't be Patur. So Tosfos and the Ritva and others assume that we're talking about a situation where it's impossible to do both mitzvahs at the same time. And if that's the case, then there seemingly is no chiddush. So the chiddush we have to say is that it creates an iser. So the chiddush points to the nature of the ptur. It takes for granted what the situation is, and it shines this chiddush on the nature of the ptur, that the ptur actually becomes an iser. Yaron?
If that's the case, then why does the Gemara use lashon of ptur as opposed to usser then?
Because the iser comes from the ptur. Because it's not that the action by itself is usser. It's only usser because it's in davar reshus when you're involved in a mitzvah. So for you to stop a mitzvah to do a davar reshus, that's the nature of the wrongdoing. It's not an iser like shatnez. It's an iser in sense that you're involved in a mitzvah. So to neglect the mitzvah for something that you're not obligated in is the nature of the wrongness. So because it's something that you're pater from, so for example, if your mother says, go clean your room, and you say, I can't clean my room, I got to go to school. And she says, no, you don't have to go to school, there's no school today. And so you're pater from school, so you can't use that as an excuse to say you can't clean your room. So you're pater from school in that sense. So that's what it means. You're the isser of running away from cleaning your room because you are putter from school. So the isser is on leaving the mitzvah because you are putter from the other mitzvah. So it is a result of the ptur. So that's how the Ritva understands what the chiddush of the Gemara is. Yeah.
What if it's a mitzvah that has an onesh attached to it? Like, we rank mitzvahs los assay much more easily based on the onesh, but what if it's like an isser assay of, let's say it's the mitzvah, the second mitzvah to come up would be bris milah, and there's an onesh attached to that. So does that?
So that's a big question in general, how you define. So just parenthetically, we'll have to see this separately. But the whole idea that you could be putter from stucca opens up a whole host of questions for a lot of reasons. But among them, Tosfos and Zubis, Tosfos and Bavakam also raises the question that it's hard to understand how you could be putter from stucca, because stucca seems to have los ases attached to it also. Los sikbots and los amates. So how could it be that you would be putter from that? So here again, turning to Svara, the Maritz Chayes in his commentary to Sukkah asks, coming purely from Svara, that the Kisal Kedaitach, says the Maritz Chayes, that Ha'osek Mitzvah, Yochel Nevelus and Treifus, that it makes sense to say that because you're involved in a mitzvah that you can eat treif, it can't be, right? So it just makes sense, logically speaking, that presumably Osek B'mitzvah only patters from Aseis. Just, again, without any Gemara to say, I'll tell you that. It's just
but these are Aseis, even though they have an Osek
So that's the question. How do you define an Aseis? So do you define an Aseis based on it being about passive behavior, based on it being without an Onesh? So that's going to be its own discussion. So but that's itself a parenthetical point. So just we're going to run out of time, so I'm going to make sure to get this in. I apologize for the short schedule today, so just before we do run out of time. So tomorrow, we're going to have to say more about this and squeeze in Berachas HaTorah. And Thursday, we're going to squeeze in Parsha and Zechiras Mitzrayim and everything else so that we can finish the parak in time for Yantif. So that's basically the premise of Tosfos and the Ritva, that we're talking about a situation where it's impossible to do both. And the Ritva saying, therefore, the Chiddush is that it's usur to do the second mitzvah. So the nature of the ptur is that it basically creates an isur. It's an absolute ptur. The Ran understands it differently. Coming from the same premise that the Ran and Sukkah, coming from the same premise that it's got to mean something more than onus, says the Ran, therefore, a bigger chiddush, that it applies even when it's Efshir Lasos Shneim. Efshir L'Kayim Shneim. And that's also the position of the Or Zeruah.
They're going to find an Osek.
Ah, so that's a question. So the press, the push for this position, again, comes from the fact that it can't be that it's just onus, because that we would know already. We wouldn't need Pesukim for that. So it's got to be something more. But then you're left with a glaring question, because, as we said before, it can't be that somebody who's wearing tzitzis is pater from all mitzvahs, because the implications would be very difficult. So, and it wouldn't be even such a thing to cheer, because the idea that everything you're doing is betar seinu mitzvah viosa, you can't be motzi anybody else in brachos, you know, it wouldn't be such a win. So, what does it mean? So, then, to go to the emphasis on, there's probably two ways to explain it. Two ways to narrow it down, because it can't just mean that everyone who is wearing tzitzis is pater. So one way is to look to the language of Osek, and to note that the Gemara never said, Hamakayim mitzvah pater mina mitzvah. And the Gemara says, Ha'osek mitzvah pater mina mitzvah. So presumably you need some level of hisaskus. And to be wearing tzitzis is not Osek. To have a mezuzah on your door is not Osek. So just from the language of the Gemara, we see that there's got to be at least some effort involved in performing both mitzvahs. Hi.
Could we bring in some synergy from Berachas HaTorah that...
Always bring in synergy. The Osek...
That Berachas HaTorah, specifically the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, is Lasok B'Divrei Zorah, and other mitzvahs don't have that language attached to them, so this could be... a specific within, if I'm learning right now, then I don't have to do anything else. Then I'm pater from other mitzvos, but it wouldn't necessarily apply to other mitzvos that don't have this askus attached.
Except that Torah, surprisingly, is the big exception. Right, so the Gemara Moed Katan and that fast tells the Torah, unless it's Efshir Lasos today, unless the mitzvah will be done by somebody else, Torah actually doesn't pater from other mitzvos. So that is the quirk, except that you're right, that using the context to figure out what Osek means is helpful, except that the context of Torah in relationship to Osek mitzvah is not going to be so helpful. But Pashtus is Osek is not the same thing as Mekayim. So the idea of Osek is one indicator. But also this Gemara, our Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph and Brachos, is one indicator. Comments about that?
Just another way of maybe trying to redefine it is, so on the Osek thing, what about like Osek B'mitzvah? Like, now that you're doing the mitzvah, you're Osek in maybe like some kind of a Hechsher mitzvah, for instance, baking matzahs.
So it's a good question about Hechsher mitzvah. Let's hold off on that for a second. So, and that is, there is a discussion about baking matzahs, actually. Hold off for a second for that. So here, the Gemara also, on this daf, gives us a little bit of an indication, because the Gemara brings up the whole issue of tirda on our daf. And the Gemara asks, well, if we're going to say that tirda, that mental stress, is going to pater you from mitzvos, so then afilu tavas finaso b'yam, so then even if somebody has business pressures because his whole inventory is on a ship, should also be exempt from mitzvos, then the Gemara says, the mitzvah we're talking about. So what we see from here is that the active ingredient in the mitzvah that paters is the tirda, the mitzvah. So it doesn't necessarily attach to simply being involved in a mitzvah, or simply being mekayim mitzvah for sure, but the tirda component within a mitzvah. So it doesn't necessarily have to mean that it's impossible for you to fulfill both mitzvahs, but that the mitzvah at least has some level of pressure that it's putting on you. And this has significant nafkaminas. The Ramah happens to paskin like this view. The Ramah happens to paskin that you would be pater from a mitzvah even if you're involved in a mitzvah that could allow you to possibly stretch and fulfill both. But, he writes, that if you can do the second mitzvah without excessive tircha, then hayos tov, that's proper to do. So there are several nafkaminas of how you understand this, because first of all, the question of whether you would fulfill a mitzvah during the time of the Ptur. And as you noted, this could have significant nafkaminas for the Seder night. Let's say somebody gets called to a rescue mission on the Seder night and wants to take his matzah with him. So would you fulfill matzah at the same time? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah makes it clear that one usage of the word p'tur means the absolute sense. So the Gemara talks about itim chala and itim shota, that if somebody is mentally incapacitated, so he's p'tur from mitzvos. And there the Gemara says that if somebody goes in and out of that state, if he fulfills the mitzvah when he's in that state, then he's not yotze. And if he fulfills the mitzvah when he is mentally clear, then he is. And then it depends on him being in the right state of mind in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So when we say osik mitzvah, pater mitzvah, if we mean it in the absolute sense, then he'd have to wait till he is absolutely chayiv in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But if pater just means an excuse, then maybe if he's able to push himself, then he is still yosei the mitzvah. So according to the Ritva's understanding, it sounds like he is absolutely pater. He's not allowed to stop the first mitzvah to go do the second mitzvah. So that is a absolute absolution, to use a seemingly repetitive phrase. So that has significant nafkaminas. Would he be obligated to do the mitzvah a second time? Would he be able to be motzi somebody else's chiyuv? And questions also such as mitzvos of different levels that was brought up here. And also it's relevant to the question of something like a hechsher mitzvah, as Poskim talk about, because the truth is the language of our Gemara really sounds like it should include a hechsher mitzvah, because the language of the Gemara is Balechas didach hu dechayavis, v'sheves didach hu dechayavis, that you're only obligated in mitzvos when you're doing your own things and your own missions, but if it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's missions, then not. So it doesn't sound like it necessarily has to be an actual mitzvah, but something that is on the way to a mitzvah. So all of these are extensive discussions in Poskim, and it's noteworthy because there's a lot of gray area here in terms of the ambiguity of the nature of the Ptur. And the idea that Talmud Torah is not subject to the Ptur, so that's the Gemara in Moed Katan. And why that is itself subject of a lot of discussion. So the Vilna Gaon had this interesting interpretation that you're never actually in between mitzvah, you're never actually in the middle of a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because the Mishnah in Peah that says that Eilat Varim She'en Lahem Shir means that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is so finely defined that you're always in between two mitzvahs, which is kind of a very technical explanation. Others explain, we talked about this when we saw the sugya of Talmud Torah in the sixth parak, that the nature of the obligation of Talmud Torah is calibrated based on how much time you have. So it's comparable to tzedakah in that way, also based on the Mishnah of Eilat Varim She'en Lahem Shir, but in a different application. So therefore, if you have a mitzvah that's incumbent upon you, so then you don't have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah for that reason. But others explain, like the Baal HaTanya and the like, that a part of the bris of Talmud Torah, as the Gemara in Sota indicates, is lishmor velasos. So if you're not going to do mitzvos because of the learning, so that's a deficiency in the bris of Talmud Torah. So it wouldn't make sense to say that you're exempt for our mitzvahs because of Talmud Torah, especially if it's a mitzvah that's not efshar l'kayim al yedei acherim. So, despite the fact that Talmud Torah k'neged kulam, this paradoxical conclusion that it doesn't pater from other mitzvahs, requires an explanation. So those are some possible explanations, but a host of issues that come up in postgame, including these questions of what happens if mitzvos are seemingly of different levels, what happens if the mitzvah is afshalasos the shliach, so is it better to get a shliach to do it? It's a discussion of the tshuvas chavon ben imen. So some of these go to this original question of the nature of the p'tur, which all goes back to the whole question of the chiddush. Okay, so we are over time. Apologize for the short slot today. So we will end here. Tomorrow, again, we may add a few short nekudas about this. But